A dishevelled-looking old man with grey curly hair and a shabby beard, wearing ragged and torn clothes, squats, hunched over on the sandy floor of a small, rocky room. Light casts square shadows through the grills on the windows set high up on the tall walls of the cell. The old man is utterly absorbed in drawing a complex pattern in the sand.
All offenders prepare for decontamination. Decontamination will proceed immediately.
A sheet of green light passes through the cell, obliterating everything but the prisoner. The old man looks down at where the pattern used to be. He shrugs and starts again, drawing a circle in the sand. Suddenly, a green light runs along the edges of a strangely shaped door, and two people enter as it opens.
Miles Edward O'Brien. The Argraphy Authority has been conducting a review of your case. Do you wish to add anything to the official record? No matter. Your correction is completed. You are free.
Free?
The crime of espionage requires a minimum of 15 cycles of correction. You've been here for 20. It's time for you to go.
Go? I can't leave. Where would I go to?
That's not my concern. Remove him.
Major Kira looks on as sensors are removed from a youthful Chief O'Brien.
There. It's done.
The strap around his waist is thrown off and O'Brien opens his eyes, looking around, dazed and confused. As he focuses more clearly, he sits up in total surprise.
Major.
It's me, Chief.
It can't be. It's been 20 years. You haven't changed at all.
Only a few hours have passed during your correction.
I don't understand.
Kira moves towards him but stops, waiting for permission before sitting next to him.
Chief, I know this is going to be hard for you to accept, but you haven't been in prison. What you experienced was an artificial reality, an interactive program that created memories of things that never actually happened.
What?
The Major is correct. We punish our offenders by giving them memories of incarceration, modeled to fit each offender's personality. It's more efficient and much more effective than maintaining an extensive prison system.
Which means that what you think you experienced in prison, the things you remember, didn't happen. Wasn't real.
It's real to me, Major. It's real to me.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Hard Time. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station, Deep Space Nine, is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. Spacecraft, tiny in comparison to the station, buzz around the circular form. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer circle on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart, towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. At one end of one of the semicircular arms, a huge starship has docked. It has the flat, saucer-shaped head, cylindrical body, and two engine arms of a Starfleet battlecruiser. Spacecraft of every imaginable shape and color and dimensions are docked all around the outer circle. One spaceship unlocks itself from a docking bay and flies over Deep Space Nine, accelerating away. In the distance, the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling circular shape of the wormhole becomes visible, and the craft flies through it to another galaxy. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense, pale blue light.
He apparently got curious about some Argrathi technology and asked a few too many questions. The Argrathi security arrested him and charged him with espionage.
But Miles would never break the law intentionally.
I know that. But by the time the Argrathi told us what had happened, they had already carried out his correction.
Can the memories that they implanted be removed?
The Argrathi claim it's impossible, but Dr. Bashir will do his best.
When can I see him?
As soon as Dr. Bashir gives the okay.
Sisko rises and leaves. Keiko sits, hands in her lap. She drops her head slowly forward, unable to bear the burden of her husband's suffering. Outside Deep Space Nine, the wormhole is suddenly activated in a flash of swirling electric blue light.
I used to dream about this. Being in a runabout, coming through the wormhole, seeing the station again. Now I keep expecting to wake up and find myself back in the cell.
Being in your cell was a dream. This is a reality.
Unconvinced, Miles O'Brien stares ahead at the huge space station.
I'd forgotten how beautiful it was.
Come on, let's get you home.
The runabout flies over Deep Space Nine, sweeping through the vertical arms and docks. Dr. Bashir walks through an airlock as the circular cog door rolls open. Chief O'Brien steps gingerly from the runabout and cautiously walks forward, struggling to take it all in. He sees Julian and stands in open-mouthed surprise, staring at him.
Chief.
Julian, is it really you?
It's me.
He's all yours.
Never thought I'd see you again.
I was pretty worried about you, too.
Keiko?
She'll, see you in a little while. I want to run some tests first, see what we're up against. And as for everyone else, they send their best. They would have been here, but I didn't want you to get overwhelmed. You should take things easy for a while. Get used to this place again. All right?
Doctor's orders?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine what it would have been like. 20 years in that cell.
It was bad.
In all that time, were you able to talk to anyone? See anyone?
I was alone.
In a flashback, Miles is back in the cell. He is thrown through a doorway that locks behind him. Lying on his back, semi-conscious, he is unaware of another person in the cell. A grey-skinned creature approaches him and gently squeezes the juice from a fruit into the chief's half-open mouth. Slowly, Miles focuses on his helper. A kind, good face looks down at him, sympathy alight in his warm grey eyes. The stranger helps Miles to sit up.
All offenders refusing to comply with dormancy period will be subject to habitat reprogramming.
Eat this. It'll help you feel better. It's Chila's fruit.
Thanks.
I'm the one who should be thanking you. I've been alone in here for 6 cycles.
6 years?
I know. It's a wonder I'm not insane. But you find ways to survive. I'm a guess. Sedition.
Espionage.
It looks like we're going to be in here together for a long time. My name is Ichar.
Miles. Miles O'Brien.
Hello, Miles. Welcome to hell.
Completely alone.
Julian and Keiko walk along the promenade deck.
The bottom line is there isn't much I can do. The Argrathi didn't just install memory implants. They ran Miles through a highly realistic, time-compressed simulation of the prison experience. In his mind, he lived those 20 years. He reacted to everything that happened. He felt pain, fear, hatred. He made choices and decisions that affected the outcome. As a result, those memories are real. The only way I could rid him of the memories would be to wipe his entire memory clean. And clearly, that isn't an option.
I understand.
Listen, Keiko, Miles has been through some terrible things in his life, as you know. During the war on Setlik 3, that time he was taken prisoner by the Paradans. during his trial on Cardassia Prime, and he's always survived. In the long run, he's going to be okay. It's just going to take some time.
Dr. Bashir steps aside to allow Keiko to descend a set of steps. With concern in his eyes, the doctor follows her down. Miles O'Brien sits on a medibed in the infirmary. He is alone and seems almost bored. Looking around, he recognizes very little until his eyes light on a replicator. A flicker of interest builds in him, and he walks over to it, leaning against the wall above it.
Computer. Piece of Chilesh fruit, please.
Replicator pattern for requested fruit is not available. Please provide specifications.
Well, it's sort of... I don't know the specifications. Cancel the request.
Chief?
Miles turns and sees Ichar, but it is in fact Keiko.
Miles? Oh, Miles. Miles, what's wrong?
You're pregnant.
That's right.
It's been so long, I'd forgotten.
Oh, Miles. It's all right. Everything's gonna be all right.
They hug each other tightly, and Miles squeezes his eyes together as the emotion overcomes him. Later, Miles, Molly, and Keiko are having dinner. Miles carefully and deliberately cuts his food into small chunks, separating his meal into two halves, but not eating.
I'm done. Can I go color?
Sure, make sure to put your plate in the replicator, sweetie.
Okay.
Keiko smiles tenderly after her, and they watch as Molly takes her plate to a recess in the wall and pushes a button. The plate disappears in a sparkle of twinkling lights.
Do you want to come color with me?
Maybe in a little while.
Molly nods, and he watches her walk away. Keiko looks at her husband's sympathy and concern in her face.
Must be strange to suddenly have a family again.
It's just... I've been alone for so long.
Talking about it with Counselor Telnori should help. Julian says you'll be seeing him for a while.
3 counseling sessions a week. I can hardly wait.
Miles unfolds his napkin and places half his meal onto it. Keiko watches with amusement.
Miles?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
He freezes, a guilty, sad look on his face, and after a while starts to quickly put the food back on his plate.
It's just a habit I picked up in prison. The guards didn't care much whether I lived or died. Sometimes they wouldn't deliver food for days, weeks even. When they did feed me, I ate as little as possible and saved the rest.
It's horrible.
You get used to it.
Miles remembers watching Ichar wrapping food in a piece of cloth and placing the bundle in a hole in the wall.
All food rations will be suspended until further notice. Any offenders caught with rations will be disciplined.
For later. How did you manage? 6 years in here all by yourself.
Oh, you find ways. I'd exercise, tell myself stories, draw seekers on the ground.
A seekers?
Geometric patterns, drawing them as a way to relax your body and occupy the mind.
Well, that helps.
Helps me.
Show me.
It's not easy.
I have plenty of time to learn.
Ichar walks slowly to the center of the room and squats down on the sandy floor.
Here. This is a good spot. Start by drawing a circle.
Having swapped places with Ichar, Miles squats down and draws his finger through the sand.
Gaze into the circle. You want to learn or not?
I'm gazing.
Relax your mind. Imagine that the circle encompasses your whole existence. Let it become a part of you. And without thinking, allow your hand to make a mark inside the circle. Now expand on the mark. Let it grow organically until it becomes a pattern.
What are you laughing at?
You look like a Rita Hawk picking at a corpse.
How do you do that? No, laugh. After 6 years in here.
Well, after 6 years in a place like this, you either learn to laugh or you go insane. I prefer to laugh.
All offenders, prepare for dormancy period. Any offender still active during the dormancy period will be disciplined. Illumination will be suspended in 20 seconds.
They both lie down, each are watching Miles as he tries to get comfortable.
Sleep well, Miles. And if you feel like laughing in the middle of the night, go ahead. I'm a heavy sleeper.
Dormancy period initiated.
They watch each other as the lights are turned off. Keiko is asleep in bed. Waking slowly, she reaches out for Miles, but he is not there. Sitting up in bed, anxiously looking around, she sees Miles lying on the floor beside the bed. A look of heartbreaking sympathy washes over her as the full magnitude of his ordeal becomes clear. Sadly, she gets up. She takes the cover from the bed and gently lays it over her husband's sleeping form, kindly pulling it up to his neck. Squatting beside him, she tenderly lays a hand on his brow and lovingly caresses his cheek. Later, Miles and Worf play darts in Quark's bar.
Your throw.
Do I need 117 or 2?
I am not sure.
And neither am I.
We could start again.
Nah, that's all right. I know darts isn't really your game. To be honest, I don't feel much like playing myself.
Well, we could go kayaking in the Hollow Suite.
You're a good friend, but...
The chief's attention is suddenly locked on a grey-skinned figure. Ichar, in ragged prison clothes, walks sadly past the window, staring at Miles. Worf sees nothing.
Hold on a second.
Chief follows Ichar out of the bar, searching for him on the promenade deck. Worf looks confusedly around and follows Miles.
Is everything all right?
It's fine. I just thought I saw someone I used to know.
Shaking his head sadly, O'Brien walks away. In a loading bay, a toolbox is open in front of Miles and Jake Sisko. The chief picks up each tool in turn.
Interphasic coil spanner. ODN recoupler.
You got it. It's a...
No, don't tell me. I'll get it. A quantum flux regulator. Mark III.
Perfect.
Let's go through it again.
Chief, you know this stuff. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of the repair crews.
Even if you get one wrong, no one will think anything of it. You may be a little rusty, but you're still the chief.
Oh, well, if I'm still the chief, I say we go through it again.
On duty in engineering, Miles works on a transparent power grid, passing a sensor over a line of electronic components. His eyes are locked on the grid, his brow furrowed with total concentration.
All done here.
That was quick.
I reconfigured the magnetic waveguides. Saved us replacing the whole unit.
Good as new. We're about done here. If it's all right with you, I was going to dismiss the crew for lunch.
You go ahead. There's a couple of things I want to look at down here. Brush up a little more.
Keep up the good work, crewman. Another week or two, you'll be running the place.
Don't you forget it.
The doctor climbs down the ladder to join the chief in the empty room.
Ah. There you are, Chief.
Hello, Julian. Come to check up on me?
To be honest, yes. Counselor Telnori says that you haven't been to see him in 10 days.
So?
So? You're supposed to see him 3 times a week.
What for? All Telnori ever wants to do is sit and listen to me tell stories of what it was like to be in an Agrathi prison. How often do they beat me? Was I distressed by the lack of toilet facilities? If you ask me, he's the one with the problem.
Now you can talk to a different counselor. Someone you might like better.
Julian, I don't want to talk to a counselor. I just want to forget about what happened on Agrathi and get on with my life.
Just like that?
Yes, just like that. I don't need counseling or relaxation or time to adjust. I just want to be left alone.
I'd have thought after being alone for 20 years, you'd want someone to talk to.
If there's one thing I haven't missed in the last 20 years, it's your smug, superior attitude. Now, I have told you I want to be left alone, and I meant it. So if you know what's good for you, you'll stay the hell away from me.
Miles grabs his toolcase and climbs the ladder, leaving the doctor looking confused and surprised by his outburst. On the next level, Miles gets into a turbo lift.
Promenade.
Standing in the lift, Miles thinks back to the prison cell. Ichar draws a complex geometric pattern in the sand while Miles paces up and down with boredom.
Tell me about Keiko again. About how much you like her eyes.
I've told you about her 100 times. What more is there to say?
Well, I like hearing about her. If I had a beautiful wife, I'd talk about her, believe me. Besides, talking about her always relaxes you, and your pacing is getting a little distracting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, your drawing is bothering me.
Since when?
Since now.
You didn't need to do that.
Don't tell me what I need.
Miles.
Don't you... Miles me! I'm sick of it! I'm sick of this place, I'm sick of your drawing, and most of all, I am sick of you!
Try to be calm!
I don't want to be calm! I've had it with this place! I don't belong here! Do you hear me? I don't belong here! I didn't do anything wrong! I know you're listening!
Miles!
I don't belong here! Let me out of here! I didn't do anything wrong, and you know it!
All offenders in detention area 4. Cease this disturbance immediately, you will be disciplined.
Discipline this! Be quiet!
Back on the station, Miles walks into Quark's very busy bar.
That's one black hole straight up, right?
Sit down, please.
Be right with you, Chief.
Quark rushes frantically around the bar, pouring drinks and gathering bottles.
Quark, what about that synth ale?
Just another minute.
Quark.
Look, Chief, I'm a little busy right now.
Miles pins Quark to the bar.
I'm in no mood for games, Quark. So why don't you give me my drink? Or I'll break every bone in your worthless little body.
Chief, just because your life's in shambles right now...
One synth ale coming right up.
Quark quickly pours his drink as Miles looks angrily around the bar. Taking his synth ale, the chief sits at an empty table. He looks around at the other customers, his anger fading. As his face softens to a look of sorrowful guilt, he takes the glass and sips thoughtfully from it.
Miles.
Ichar. What are you doing here?
I've never really been gone, have I?
You're not real. You're just in my head.
That's all I ever was. But I'm real to you, and that's all that matters.
Go away.
I can't. I'm your friend. You need me.
You are the last thing I need.
You're wrong, Miles. You need me now more than ever.
Miles looks away from his old cellmate and slowly raises his glass to his lips. From the bar, Quark and Security Officer Odo watch the chief. He is alone at his table. Miles stares around as if challenging anyone to approach him. Sitting alone in his quarters, the chief looks disconsolately around. Rising quickly, he walks past a mirror and stops. He is not alone.
What are you doing?
I'm going to work.
Miles, as your friend, I have to tell you I'm worried about you.
Don't be. I'm home. I'm working. And for the first time in as long as I can remember, I feel good.
Then why am I here?
Sisko to O'Brien. Please report to my office.
On my way. Look, I don't know why you're here. And I don't care.
The doleful look on HR's face grows to genuine sadness as Chief O'Brien strides out of the room. Miles enters Sisko's office.
Have a seat. I understand. You had a confrontation with Dr. Bashir yesterday.
That was nothing.
Not according to Dr. Bashir.
We had a little argument. Julian and I are always arguing.
According to Constable Aldo, you also had an incident with Quark.
Did that little... Look, sir, I may have let things get a little out of hand, but it won't happen again.
Dr. Bashir also tells me that you've stopped seeing your counselor.
Sir, I've been very busy lately.
The agreement was that you were going to see a counselor on a regular basis.
You're right. I'll make an appointment to go see him tomorrow.
You'll see him today. Immediately.
I have a lot of work to do today, sir.
The work can wait. As of now, you're relieved of duty. I want you to report to Counselor Telnori and begin attending daily counseling sessions for as long as he thinks it's advisable.
Sir, you're blowing this all out of proportion.
You know that's not true. What happened to you on Agratha affected you a lot more than you're willing to admit. And it's not going to get better overnight, no matter how much you want it to. You need help.
Please, Captain. I'm asking you as a personal favor to me. Give me one more chance.
I wish I could. But right now, in the judgment of this station's chief medical officer, you're unfit for duty. Which means you're on medical leave effective immediately. And if you don't begin attending counseling sessions on a regular basis and cooperating in every other way with your physician, I will have no choice but to have you confined to the infirmary. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Dismissed.
O'Brien stands up and strides out of the office, leaving the captain confused and anxious.
Chief! I was just about to head down to the Replimat.
Not now, Commander.
Dax stares after the chief as he gets into the turbo lift.
Promenade.
Miles rips his communication badge from his tunic and hurls it to the floor. He storms into the infirmary.
What the hell did you say to him?
I take it you talked to Captain Sisko.
I talked to him, all right. He relieved me of duty.
It's for the best, Miles.
How do you know what's best for me? You have no idea what I've been going through.
You're right. You were alone in that cell. I wasn't there with you. I didn't see what they did to you. But I do know you suffered and that you're still suffering now, and I'm trying to help.
I never asked for your help.
You didn't need to ask. I'm your doctor and your friend.
You should listen to him, Miles. He cares about you just like I did. Don't make the same mistake with him you did with me. Don't you get it? You're not my friend! Not anymore! The O'Brien that was your friend died in that cell!
He's not dead. He just needs a little help, that's all.
Stay away from me. I don't want your help. I don't want your friendship. I just want to be left alone.
Where are you going?
I told you to go away.
Miles, please, don't do this. Go back there and talk to him. He wants to help you.
Like you did?
That's right. We're both your friends.
Yeah, and look what happened to you. How about that ring?
You know sooner or later you'll have to tell someone about me.
Like hell I will.
You can't run from me forever.
You're dead. So why don't you go away and leave me alone?
You want me to leave? I'll leave. Send me away.
Don't you see? If I keep coming back, it's because some part of you keeps bringing me here.
Striding through the corridors, he turns to face Ichar, but there is no one there. He looks around in surprise, but his amazement is short-lived as his face returns to an expression of sadness and insecurity, and he walks on.
Miles, Julian's been trying to contact you for an hour. Where have you been?
Walking, thinking.
I know, I heard. I'm sorry. I know how much your work means to you.
Try telling that to Julian.
Daddy, come see what I drew.
Not now, honey, okay?
I'm sure it's only temporary. You'll be back at work before you know it.
Daddy, you have to come see.
Look, can we talk about this later?
Daddy, come on.
Not now.
Please, Daddy, please.
I said not now, right?
What
I said
is,
not.
What are you doing?
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Keiko cradles Molly in her arms and watches Miles fearfully. He turns away and strides out of his quarters, heading for the cargo bays. Hurling away a huge spanner, Miles stares at the weapons locker in front of him. He reaches slowly forward and taps in the combination. Six phasers are held in place in the locker with foam. Fearfully, he reaches up and takes one out. Holding it gingerly in both hands, he stares indecisively at it before tapping at the power function. The lights on the phaser increase from green for stun to red, the full power setting. As if handling a dangerous animal, the chief carefully holds the phaser in his right hand as he sits on a pile of boxes. He stares at the phaser with a mixture of awe and fear. As if finally making his decision, he drops his head and brings the phaser up, lifting his head sadly and placing the phaser under his chin.
Chief? Get out of here, Julian.
You don't want to do this, Chief.
The hell I don't.
Look, I don't claim to know what you're going through, but whatever it is, it's not worth dying for.
You don't understand at all. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it to protect Keiko and Molly and everyone else in the station.
Protect us from what?
From me. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm dangerous. I nearly hit Molly today. All she wanted was a little attention. And I nearly hit her.
But you didn't. You're a good man, Miles Edward O'Brien. And whatever it is you think you've done wrong, you don't deserve to die.
You sound like Ichar.
Who's Ichar?
He's not real. He's just a memory, that's all.
A memory from her brother. Who was he? Another prisoner? A guard?
He was my cellmate.
You told me you were alone in that cell. 20 years with no one to talk to.
I was at the end. A week. Two, maybe. The rest of the time, there was Ichar.
What happened to him?
Ichar watches from behind the doctor as Miles remembers drawing a pattern in the sand.
Why'd you do that?
Wasn't helping.
You need to concentrate more.
It doesn't matter how much I concentrate. Still starving.
So am I.
You sure there's nothing left?
Not unless you have a hiding place I don't know about.
We ate the last of the food I put away a week ago.
We should have stockpiled more. We should have prepared for this.
They've never let us go this long without food before.
Maybe they've forgotten about us. I just decided to finally let us die.
Then we die.
All offenders prepare for dormancy period. Any offender still active during the dormancy period will be disciplined. Illumination will be suspended in 20 seconds.
What are you doing?
I'm going to sleep.
How can you sleep at a time like this?
Maybe I'll dream about food.
You're crazy.
No. Just hungry.
Dormancy period initiated.
The lights go out in the cell and Miles sits watching Ichar. Eventually Miles lies down to sleep and Ichar wakes, watching Miles carefully. Sure that the chief is sleeping, he slowly gets up and crosses to the wall. Miles opens his eyes slowly and watches as Ichar removes a rock from the base of the wall. Ichar quietly, cautiously removes a small cloth package from the hole behind the rock and, keeping his back to Miles, moves the package out of sight. Anger and betrayal rise in O'Brien's eyes. He rises slowly and stealthily creeps silently up behind his friend. Closing on him, he raises both hands above his head.
You pretended to be my friend, and all the time you were holding out on me.
Now who's acting crazy? After everything I've done for you, I'm ungrateful.
Ichar lies motionless on the floor as Miles climbs over him to the package. He unwraps it to find two pieces of each of various foods.
You were saving it for both of us. Ichar. Ichar, wake up.
The realization of what he has done spreads quickly over him. In fear, he steps back from the dead body of his friend, pressing himself against the wall, staring at Ichar's corpse.
Ichar. You killed him? The worst part of it was, the next day, the guards began feeding me again. I killed him for nothing. For a scrap of bread he was going to share with me. But it was a mistake. You didn't mean it. I meant it. I wanted him to die. I keep telling myself, it doesn't matter. It wasn't real. But that's a lie. If it had been real, if it had been you instead of him, it wouldn't have made any difference. He was my best friend, and I murdered him. When we were growing up, they used to tell us humanity had evolved. That mankind had outgrown hate and rage. But when it came down to it, when I had the chance to show that no matter what anyone did to me, I was still an evolved human being, I failed. I repaid kindness with blood. I was no better than an animal.
No, 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 no. An animal would have killed Ichar and never had a second thought, never shed a tear. But not you. You hate yourself. You hate yourself so much you think you deserve to die. The Agrathi did everything they could to strip you of your humanity. And in the end, for one brief moment, they succeeded. But you can't let that brief moment define your entire life. If you do, if you pull that trigger,
and the Agrathi will have won. They will have destroyed a good man. You cannot let that happen, my friend.
Ichar's ghost studies Miles' tear-damp face as the doctor reaches out and slowly and gently takes the phaser from the chief's hand.
Miles. Be well, Miles.
Miles looks up at Ichar, his eyes brimming with tears. Oblivious, the doctor watches Miles as Ichar turns, smiling, and walks away, fading. He turns once and then disappears completely. Miles stares at the place where Ichar had been. His cheeks are wet with tears and his eyes are filled with sadness. He drops his gaze to the floor.
30 milligrams twice a day. Take it religiously for a month, and if all goes well, we'll experiment with a lower dosage.
You sure this'll work?
It's a treatment, not a cure. It'll prevent hallucinations, take the edge off the depression. But that's all it'll do. It won't take away the memories or the feelings.
You mean the guilt?
Well, that'll take time.
Now's the part where you tell me I have to start seeing Counselor Telnori again.
Unless you want to talk to me.
No, Telnori will be fine. Thanks, Julian, for everything.
What are friends for?
They stop outside the chief's quarters and Julian walks away. Inside, Keiko and Molly sit together, turning as the door opens.
Daddy's home! Daddy's home!
That's right. Daddy's home.
Kneeling in front of his daughter, Miles embraces her, drawing her gently towards him. Keiko watches them, a loving smile playing in her eyes, and Miles returns her gaze with a new confidence. The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.